Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys.
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
We're doing a slightly late Q&A.
Yes, because it's Q&A Saturday.
But hey.
On Saturday.
Still Saturday.
Coming out today, so it's not late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, that's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. So, do you have any insights as to what we're covering today?
Yeah, because remember you and I were arguing over the timeline of Ezra and Nehemiah.
Yes.
And whether they were at the same time.
Correct.
Or what the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about that?
We're talking about that.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get into this.
Okie dokie.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, so Ezra and Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Okay, guess what?
What?
We accidentally stumbled into a contradiction.
We do that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
We stumble into these things all the time.
Yeah.
Because, so, I mean, they're pretty obvious to me. I mean, not obvious. Like, obviously, we were arguing about it. So, but.
Because you know why?
Because it's a.
Because you're always wrong, and so am I. That's why.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
So, okay. I'm going to go over a timeline, and then we'll make some points after that.
Sounds good.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, Cyrus ordered the rebuilding of the temple around 538 BC.
Okay.
Okay? That was with Sheshbazzar, remember, Halbazar.
Yeah.
The prince of Judah, and Zerubbabel, or Zerubbabel, whatever, the Persian governor over the province of Judah, who was also a descendant of the last reigning Judean king.
Okay.
And Jeshua, who was the first high priest after the captivity.
Got it.
Okay, so do you remember those guys?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay. So they found the old foundations for the previous altar and built a new one upon the exact same place as the old one, which dated back to David's altar on the threshing floor.
Got
remember?
It. Yeah.
Okay. The feast was observed and regular sacrifice was resumed, and the adversaries tried to join the work of building the temple, but Zerubbabel refused their offer. You remember that?
Yes.
Because he was like,
they didn't want to co-mingle or whatever, right?
No, the adversaries were like, we want to help you, totally.
Oh.
And Zerubbabel was like, yeah, no, you're bad guys.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so, this was all Ezra, right?
No, this was Sheshbazzar and Zerubbabel.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
These guys came before Ezra.
Okay.
Okay.
Got
that's
it.
Why I was stressing those guys.
I got it.
There's
got
three
it.
Sets of people.
Okay.
Okay. Right. There's Sheshbazzar and Zerubbabel, then there's Ezra, and then there's Nehemiah.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
So in the beginning of the reign of Ahasuerus, the adversaries wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, so they were complaining. They were like, these guys are sucky. And that's about 485 to 465
okay.
BC.
All right.
Okay, yep. So we're moving along in time.
Sure.
Okay, and then in 464 to 424 BC, under the reign of Artaxerxes, the adversaries actually wrote a letter to Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the letter was written in Aramaic, and the king commanded that all the work stop until further notice.
But we've jumped forward here by like 150 years since when it first started, though, right? 424? And it was like 560-something before, right? Or something like that?
538 is when Cyrus first said, okay, let's build it.
Okay, so it's a little over 100 years
then. 485, let's see, 538, and then 485 is when the adversaries complained. And then 464 is when the adversaries wrote a letter.
Right. But then 424 was something also.
I'm not there yet. Oh, it was 464 to 424.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. So 424 puts us over 100 years since this whole thing started.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the adversary succeeded in stopping the building work for 15 years until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
Okay.
Darius came to the throne in a time of conflict and struggle. Therefore, the Jews in Jerusalem started their work without receiving any permission from him.
Oh, okay.
And they kind of took advantage of it.
Got it.
Now, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, who we're going to be reading about, they have their own books.
Okay.
But their books take place during this time. They prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem, encouraging them to stop wallowing in their despair.
Okay.
And to start prioritizing building.
Okay? Got it.
So we're going to learn more about these guys later.
Sure.
Tattenai, governor of the region, sent a letter to King Darius to determine whether it was true that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to build a house.
And this is where they looked into the records and what have you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So these guys So the adversaries went to the governor of the area, Tatanai, right?
Yeah.
And the adversaries were like, these dudes need to stop. And the Jews were like, no, we actually were given permission and ordered to do this. And Tatanai's like, I don't fucking know. So he wrote a letter to King Darius and was like, dude, king, my guy, king, can you please go see if there's actually a decree that right. gives these guys permission? So he was pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Tatanai was.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but if somebody gave me permission to do something over 100 years ago, I wouldn't think that that still holds up, personally.
I don't know, because these guys, like, if a king says jump, you jump, and you're not allowed to land until they give you permission.
Right, but it was a different king, so, like...
But it holds.
Okay.
It holds.
All right.
These guys took their decrees very seriously.
Got it.
And they held.
Okay.
Unless the king saw a reason to overturn an old decree.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of like our laws. They keep going until we legislate something different.
Right.
They hold no matter who the president is.
Yeah.
Like, you still have to stop at a stop sign. That doesn't change just because we got a new president.
Right, right.
Okay. So King Darius found that, Cyrus did make that order. That is correct. So Darius issued a decree and a search was made to look for this, and he found the scroll.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And so Darius issued another decree to let the building be done and to leave them alone.
Got it.
He's like, just let them do their thing. Cyrus ordered them not just to be allowed to build, but to help them.
Right.
And to leave them the fuck alone except for helping them.
Right.
Don't tax them. Don't mess with them. Just let them have their thing.
Sure.
Which was common for that
era.
The kings over there of that thing, whatever. The kings of that land, it was common for them to let...
things like this occur.
Yeah. When they conquered other nations, they let them maintain right. their own.
Especially early on, because that guy was kind of like cool mm-hmm. with, you know, he's like, hey, yeah, do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that enabled their kingdom to grow further.
Right. Right.
Okay. So Ezra arrived in Palestine sometime around 458 BCE.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is like 80 years after the original decree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right in the middle of this last round of building.
Yeah.
So he wasn't there in the first group. Okay. He was there in the middle of the building already happening.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
He was one of the later Jews who returned from the captivity to Judea and Jerusalem.
Right.
He was not in the original bunch.
Okay. Yep.
He came to a city that had been repopulated by the Jewish people from their exile for about 60 years.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So... That hadn't occurred to me until I studied this.
Yeah, they don't give a very good time frame on things in the
right.
Bible.
So. And I'll get into that in a second. So that's what we're concentrating on in this Q&A, is trying to figure out our timeline a little better, because I was confused, you were confused.
Right.
And it turns out we had reason to be confused.
Okay.
Okay. So Nehemiah arrived in 445 BC.
Wait, okay, 445.
So, mm-hmm. So... Dude, Ezra was 458.
Okay.
And then Nehemiah was 445.
Okay. So like 13 years later, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the book of Nehemiah begins 15 years after the book of Ezra ends, almost 100 years after the first captives came back to the promised land, and some 150 years after the city of Jerusalem was destroyed.
Got it.
Okay. So I'm going to get away from this for a minute and talk about something else that kind of explains the confusion. Okay?
Didn't the Bible say there was like 70 years between them or something
like
that?
It was 60.
Though? 60, okay.
But we'll get into that in a minute.
All right.
Okay. So this is just a reminder of who we're talking about and why the confusion.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So the uniformity of language, style, and ideas of the two books, Ezra and Nehemiah, as well as Chronicles, mark the entire work as the product of a single author known as the Chronicler. So the Chronicler wrote the two books of Chronicles and Ezra and Nehemiah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So he belongs to a period after the Babylonian exile, probably about 350 to 300 BC.
Okay. So he wrote this at the earliest 100 years after Nehemiah and Ezra did their things. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
The writing of the books was probably attributed at the time to Ezra himself, like over the course of history. Yeah. Usually,
right.
It's attributed to Ezra. But according to a rabbinic tradition, Nehemiah was the real author, but was forbidden to claim authorship because of his bad habit of disparaging others. Which is hilarious because you and I commented on how much he loved himself.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's funny if it's him because he also loved David.
Right.
Because the chronicler was in love with David.
He definitely was.
So I find that hilarious.
Yeah.
If it was him. Yep. So it was either Ezra or Nehemiah or somebody very close to them that was the chronicler.
But so if it's Nehemiah or Ezra or whatever, then they didn't actually take part in these things. They wrote themselves into it as a character in these events because the writer happened at 350 to 300 BCE, which is at best, at earliest, 100 years past when Nehemiah and Ezra were actually doing these things in Jerusalem.
Well, here's my final say on the matter.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Textual dislocations, meaning the way it's written and the way it's like out of order and stuff.
Right.
Raise a question about the chronological sequence of Ezra and Nehemiah to which there is no solid answer.
Oh, okay.
So were they together at the same time? Their times might have overlapped. Was one of them the chronicler? Maybe, but that means that he was, you know, living after all of that, and like you said, inserting himself.
Right.
So we don't know.
Okay.
We really just don't know. And
I mean, there was a lot of copying going on back then, so maybe the chronicler took some accounts of a person and then just changed the name to himself or something like that.
Could be.
I mean, I don't know. The whole thing sounds a little sus.
Yeah, it does. It does. And there's like this whole chart of timeline, but the timeline also depends on when they refer to Artaxerxes, if they're referring to Artaxerxes the first or the second, and also Xerxes sometimes was referred to. We don't know because dudes could not keep their shit straight.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
It's basically one more fucking giant mystery.
Mm-hmm.
None of it might be true for all that.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, we all know that at the very best case scenario, only bits and pieces of it are true.
Right.
I mean, like, it's a story. It's a fucking story that somebody wrote after the fact 100 years. Right?
Now, there are records from Persia and, you know, Egypt, stuff like that.
That's why I said bits and pieces stuff. Are true.
Yeah, that do say that, yes, this did happen. It was rebuilt.
Right.
And, you know, these kings did support other nations that they conquered. So there's a lot of evidence that parts of this were true, like you said.
My guess is that the Bible is just the, you know, most popular of all time historical fiction book ever written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it really is. There was something else I was going to say.
Yeah.
But the chart that I was reading was really, really confusing. And,
oh, I bet.
It just depended on, like, there was this whole century of it depended on which king they were talking about as to when Ezra and Nehemiah were there.
I think you
and
can,
hold on. Yeah, there's sorry, another. Sorry. There's another case where it wrote them together at the same time, but that may have been an editing mistake.
Well, I mean, they weren't far apart. They were like 15 years apart, according to what you're telling me. So which they might have overlapped some even in that.
They might have, but the way it's written, they probably shouldn't have overlapped.
Got it.
And
got it.
The place where you and I started arguing was when they were there at the same time, it was mentioned that they were both working together.
Yeah.
Like it had both their names in the same sentence.
Right, right.
And that's when we started arguing. That's because that was very likely an editing error. They should not have been working at the same time.
Got it.
Oh, and I had another Q&A topic that I'll just throw in here real quick.
Okay.
Remember we were talking about Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king of Persia.
Yes.
And how that was like very important position and we couldn't understand like what's so fucking important about carrying his cup, right? Yeah. Right. So it turns out that what that meant was that he was his closest confidant, and he was his food taster and his wine taster. Oh. He picked out the king's meals.
Okay.
To make sure that he wasn't being poisoned. So he was.
So he had to really trust this person.
Yes. Got so it. When he was upset and the king asked him what's wrong, Nehemiah was like really scared to look sad in the king's presence, because you're supposed to always be happy because the king fills you with joy, right?
Right.
So he was really scared to like admit like, oh, I'm really upset because, you know, my people are over there and,
yeah,
you know, they're commingling and that's just the saddest tragedy ever. So,
right.
But that's what that is. And that's why it's important that he had that high position and left that high position of comfort to come be with his people and cry about them commingling.
Got it. Got
and
it.
Making commingle babies.
It's never not funny.
I know.
I mean, it's terrible, but it's not fun. Whatever, you know. You know
yep.
what I'm saying?
I do. Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got for our Q&A for today.
Yes. That's well and enough, isn't it?
It is indeed. And then I can't remember. Tomorrow, I think we're back with the
book club.
Yeah. So we'll be back tomorrow with the
book club.
The sacrilegious book club, even.
I forgot what the jingle was. Yeah. Sacrilegious book club.
There we go.
Yeah, and I was like, what? What? I'll get the book club. What? I'll
get the replay done, weekly replay done. And then we'll be back on Monday with
Nehemiah chapter 9.
All right. We'll see you guys then.
Yep. Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.